What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That was the Apostle Paul's inspired persuasion. That was also Mr. Berwin Huizinga's persuasion. And that is also our assured persuasion concerning him. And it is in that consciousness of who we are in Christ Jesus and what Jesus has done for us through his death and resurrection that we meet together this morning to mourn the death of our beloved friend in Christ, Mr. Berwin Huizinga. Mr. Berwin Huizinga was born on February 23, 1933, in Friesland, Wisconsin, a son of John and Elsie Huizinga. Last week, Wednesday, March 27, 2019, at the age of 86, the Lord took our dear husband, father, brother, grandfather, and friend in Christ unto himself to live in the glory of his own presence. We believe that. We also believe that as we mourn his death this morning, God will also minister comfort to our souls. Let us pray. Our everlasting Father, the God and Father of our Savior Jesus Christ, who art the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, we thank thee this morning for the comfort that thou dost give us in Christ Jesus. We thank thee for that only comfort, and yet entirely an all-sufficient comfort of knowing that with body and soul, both in life and in death, we belong to our faithful Savior, Jesus Christ, who with his precious blood hath fully satisfied for all our sins and delivered us from all the power of the devil, and so preserves us that without thy fatherly will, not even a hair can fall from our heads. And all things, even death itself, must be subservient to our salvation. Thank thee that by thy Holy Spirit thou dost assure us of eternal life. We thank thee that though we mourn this morning the death of a dear brother in Christ, we do not mourn as those who have no hope. For we mourn as those who believe in Jesus Christ, who said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. We beseech thee this morning, bless us with thy Spirit. Draw our attention to the gospel, that we might again be comforted in knowing that Jesus Christ is the victor over all, and through Him we are more than conquerors, and nothing shall separate us from Thy love, which is most precious to us. Even death itself has been transformed in an instrument, it now is in our Savior's hand, to lead us to eternal glory. We thank Thee for our dear brother, Berwin. Thank Thee for a long life that Thou didst give him. We thank Thee for his clear confession of faith in Jesus Christ. Thank Thee for his love for the church, his pursuit of holiness, and his care for the things of the Lord. We thank Thee for the time we could have with him. We thank Thee for how Thou hast blessed us through him. Thank Thee for who he was as a devoted and faithful husband and father, who he was as a friend in Christ. And we thank Thee too, Father, that his pilgrimage has now come to an end and he is at home with Christ in glory. Thank Thee that he has been delivered from the affliction of dementia. We know too that all this was in Thy hand to lead him to glory. Thank Thee that now his mind has been renewed. We thank Thee that he can enjoy life with Christ, not just with a perfect and a clear mind, but complete freedom from sin and a sinful nature. We thank Thee, O Lord, that Thou dost hear the needy when they cry. Thou dost save their souls when death draws nigh. And Thou art the God of our salvation. Bless the family. Be near unto Jerry, O Lord. Strengthen her. Comfort her by Thy Spirit. Be on her right hand and left hand. And may she weep in a manner that even honors and glorifies Thee. And may that be precious to her too in this time. May the family, the brothers and sisters, be a mutual help to each other, and a comfort. Keep us from sin, O Lord. Protect us from Satan's devices. Forgive our sins. Give us the sure hope of the resurrection of the body. Direct us so that all we do this morning be to Thy name's glory and honor. In our only Mediator, Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. One of the glorious realities that we as Christians have when confronted with death is that we don't have to come up with comforting words from our own hearts or our own minds. We don't have to comfort ourselves because God speaks to us. God takes care to give us comforting words from Scripture. I would like to read a few passages of Scripture for you and before your hearing. 2 Timothy 4, verses 6 through 8. In 2 Timothy 4, verses 6 through 8, Paul writes, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." First Peter 1, verses 3 through 5. Peter writes, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope, a living hope, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." And then one last passage, Revelation 7, verses 9 through 17. This is the Apostle John receiving a vision. Revelation 7, verse 9. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And the angels stood round about the throne, and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces, and worshipped God, saying, Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes? And whence came they? And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve Him day and night in His temple. And He that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. That's John's vision of the glory of the church in heaven, that church to which Berwyn now is a part of. Let us sing two numbers from the Psalter. First, we sing number 53. Psalter number 53 in the blue psalters. And we sing all five stanzas of number 53. And then we also sing Psalter number 32, versification of Psalm 17. We sing all four stanzas, Psalter number 32, all the four stanzas. This time I ask that you turn with me in your Bibles to Psalm 116. In Psalm 116, the psalmist professes his love to God. He speaks of how the Lord delivered him, and he, in response, seeks to worship the Lord with all that He is and His whole life. Psalm 116. I love the Lord because He hath heard my voice and my supplications. Because He hath inclined His ear unto me, therefore will I call upon Him as long as I live. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell gat hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and He helped me. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed, therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, truly I am thy servant. I am thy servant and the son of thine handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem. Praise ye the Lord. The text for the wedding, for the funeral message this morning is verse 15. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Family and friends of Berwyn Huizinga, fellow church members and friends in Christ, at first glance, those words from verse 15 may seem startling. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Death? Precious? We may ask, do those two words belong together in the same sentence? Because when we think of death, death does not appear to be precious at all. In fact, death all by itself is not precious. What is death? First of all, death is destruction. The Bible describes death as the last enemy. And outside of Jesus Christ, there is no hope for those who need to face death. Death is pictured as an enemy that wants to take us down and destroy us. And we spend our whole lives, as it were, fighting this enemy. We go through the process of dying, and we are constantly fighting until it appears we lose the fight. Sometimes that's even how people will word it. I don't think Christians ought to word it that way, because in Christ we never lose the battle against death, because we already have the victory our whole life long in Jesus Christ. But the fact that we are inclined to speak about death that way tells us what death is. When we look at death all by itself, death does not appear to be a friend. Furthermore, what makes death so painful is that death involves the separation from loved ones here on the earth. Death is the ending and the cutting off of all earthly relationships. When a loved one dies, we are never going to see that loved one again on this side of the grave. And from that point of view, death is certainly a loss. Jerry lost a husband. The children lost a father. We lost a fellow church member. Especially for Jerry, death is the loss of a marriage bond. Death dissolves the earthly ties that bind us together in marriage. Yes, we know that the Lord has been gradually taking Berwyn away from us. He had been. It had been a number of years already since Berwyn was suffering from dementia. In a sense, we knew that today was coming. But it doesn't make the reality of death any less painful. If anything, we've been given to see the ravages of death more clearly. Death involves the separation from loved ones here on the earth. Death is also, the Bible says, the wages of sin. Death is not natural. That's what the evolutionist would say, and many in the world would say, that death is natural and it has been taking place even for millions of years. But no, death is not natural at all. God did not originally create the heaven and earth with any death in it 6,000 years ago. But death is the result of sin, of Adam and Eve's sin and our sin in Adam and Eve. Death is described as the wages of sin and God's punishment and wrath upon the sinner. And yet the text tells us that the death of God's saints is precious in His eyes. The question is, can we say that? Can we say that death is precious? Well, there are a few things about this text we must notice. And first of all, what we need to realize is that this text is talking very specifically about saints, about believers. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. A saint is a holy one, one who separates himself from sin, one who devotes himself unto the Lord. A saint is one who is a believer. And that changes everything. Why does that change everything? It changes everything because the believer, the saint, is one who belongs to Jesus Christ. He is in Christ. And Christ is his head, his representative. Christ, his identification. That was Berwyn's confession. Berwyn belonged to Jesus Christ. Berwyn was a believer. He was a sinner, but he was a saint in Jesus Christ. And the reality is, for the believer, death is no more the wages of sin. Because the cardinal truth of the gospel is this: the sins of believers were laid on Jesus Christ. They were punished upon Christ, and consequently, there is no sin that must be or can be charged to the believer, and neither is there any punishment for the believer to bear. The believer is freely forgiven because Jesus bore his punishment. And so the righteous wrath of God altogether ceases towards those who are in Christ and belong to Christ. And it is impossible, according to the perfect justice of God, that the death penalty once applied or executed upon Jesus Christ should again be visited upon those for whom Christ was a substitute. No, if Christ has served my death sentence, then there is no more death sentence for me. And therefore the reality is, death does not come to the believer because he deserves it. Death does not come to the believer because he needs to be punished by it. Not at all. Yes, to the ungodly, that's exactly what death is. To the ungodly, death is the visiting of God's wrath upon them for all their iniquities. For the one who loves his sin, who does not value Jesus Christ, who is not devoted to Jesus Christ, who is not a saint, who does not separate himself from sin or honor Christ with his life, death is the beginning of an unending death, which shall be their perpetual portion on account of all their unforgiven and unrepentant sins. For them, death is a fitting punishment in hell. But for the believer, for the saint, death is no punishment at all. Death is no penalty at all. Death is a privilege. Death is a privilege. That was Berwyn's own confession and conviction. I remember very distinctly having a conversation with Berwyn over the phone. It was one of the last real conversations I had with Berwyn. Berwyn, at this point, this was a couple years ago already, Berwyn was already getting confused. Dementia was settling in, you might say. But I remember, though Berwyn was confused, perhaps he was talking about cows in the field, but I thought I would change the subject, and somehow we started talking about being justified by faith alone. And the light bulb went on clear and crystal. This was Berwyn's confession. He knew exactly what the word justification meant. He knew he was justified. He was righteous in Jesus Christ alone. Jesus was his Savior. And I suppose it was just striking to me when I was talking to Berwyn on the phone at that time, because Berwyn's mind was so confused with some other things. And yet the Lord had preserved his mind so that he knew full well what the gospel was. He knew what his hope was. He knew who his Savior was and the one to whom he belonged. He knew he was a sinner. He had sins. But Jesus died for those sins. So Berwyn knew even the dementia wasn't a punishment, because Christ had bore the whole punishment. He was in the hand of his Heavenly Father. He knew the hope that was lying ahead for him. You see, when you have Jesus as your Savior, then everything is different. Then death itself is transformed. Because Jesus bore the punishment for all our sin, death is but the passageway for the child of God to glory. It's the riddance, the putting away of all earthly sorrow and pain and tears and suffering. It is the abolishing of sin, the final, once and for all, putting off of the old man and enjoying the fullness of the new man in Christ. And for those who are saints, that is certainly important. For Berwyn, that was something that was important and something he looked forward to. Death is a blessing to God's people. Because the very moment that the believer falls asleep in Jesus, that believer is with Jesus in paradise. It's not a loss to die. It is gain. It is a lasting, perpetual, illimitable gain. For at one moment, a man is weak. He cannot move a finger. He cannot even speak with his lips. He cannot think. In an instant, he is clothed with power and glory and beauty and holiness. And so, as strange as it may sound, our deaths are precious. And yet everything I've said up to this point is really beside the point, because everything that I've just said is looking at death from our point of view, and the passage isn't talking about death from our point of view. The text isn't interested in our estimation of death, but God's. The passage wants us to consider this morning death from God's point of view. The text says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. God says to us this morning that Berwyn's death was precious, not to us. Berwyn's death was precious to Him. And the word precious literally refers to something that is weighty, something that is heavy. And because it is heavy, it is valuable. Think, for example, of precious metals. A gold bar, a precious metal. It is heavy. It is weighty. And because it is weighty, it is valuable and it is good. God says Berwyn's death was precious. Berwyn's death was valuable to God. Berwyn's death was good in God's eyes. We might ask why. Why is the death of God's saints precious in His eyes? Well, first of all, we need to remember who God's saints are. God's saints are not just known as believers, but God's saints are elect of God. Those whom God in love predestinated before the foundation of the world to be His children. And God in love predestinated them to be conformed to the image of His Son, Jesus Christ, to shine forth in holiness and righteousness and true knowledge. God's saints are not just known by God as believers, but they are known by God as bought with His own precious blood. God cheerfully became a man and laid down His life for the sake of His people. God's saints are also His adopted children, whom He loves and pities and rejoices in, just as a father loves and rejoices in his children. God's saints are members of His bride, His spouse. They are His beloved ones. And therefore, everything that concerns His saints is precious to God. Everything that concerns them is precious. The Lord loves His people so intensely that the very hairs of their head are numbered. And therefore, certainly their deaths are very precious in His sight too. After all, if our tears are precious in the Lord's sight, and He gathers them in His bottle, according to Psalm 56, if our tears are precious, then how much more are not our deaths precious in the sight of the Lord? But more to the point and positively, the death of God's saints is valuable to God. It is precious because in death, the eternal, gracious and electing purposes of Jehovah God for His people are now brought to their goal and their fulfillment. Through death, the believer is led to be with the Lord, and that's what the Lord Himself wants. You see, God's purposes with us are not merely that our sins be forgiven, or that we are delivered from the infirmities and weaknesses of the flesh, or even finally that we get to enjoy the pleasures of glory in heaven. But God's purposes with us are specifically that we be with Him where He is. fellowshipping with Him and enjoying Him as His friends. That's what salvation is all about. The gospel is not merely about how to escape hell. The gospel is not merely about how to get to heaven. That's not really the central idea at all. The gospel is this, that God has chosen to establish a relationship of friendship, a covenant of grace with a people outside of Himself in Jesus Christ. And this is our salvation already now, that we are the friends of God. We fellowship with God. Jerry knows this. This is the joy of the Christian life. This is why we go to church on Sunday, not out of duty, not to perform any kind of act or ritual, although it is a duty God calls us, but to fellowship, to fellowship with our friend Sovereign, because we love Him and He loves us, and it is our joy and yearning to fellowship with Him. God calls us friends, and we are His friends indeed. But you see, there's one thing that stands between the fellowship as we enjoy it now with God and the perfection of that fellowship. And that's the reality of death. It's only on the other side of death that we get to see God face to face in the face of Jesus Christ. Here we see, as it were, through a glass darkly. We see through a blurry mirror. Here we are hindered in our fellowship with God by our sin and by our sinful natures. In heaven, we see God face to face, the one whom our hearts love. We see Him in the face of Jesus Christ, our Savior and our joy, and we enjoy unhindered fellowship and friendship with Him. That's why the death of His saints is precious in His sight. When Berwyn died last Wednesday night, that was God calling Berwyn home to enter into that fellowship with God more intimately. And that was precious to God. And that was precious to Berwyn. But it was precious to God. But there's also other reasons why the death of God's saints is precious in God's eyes. The death of God's saints is precious in God's eyes because through our death, the work of Jesus is highlighted. When we face death, what do? We remind ourselves again of who Jesus is as our Savior. We go to the cross. We comfort ourselves in the truth that Jesus Christ has made a full satisfaction for all my sin. He's obtained a perfect standing before God, the righteous judge. And that is precious to God. When God sees the work of Jesus Christ being magnified through us, and the work of Jesus Christ being used to comfort the hearts of His people, that's precious to God. That's what we're doing right now this morning. What are we doing right now? We are in church. We've gone to the Lord's house. That's what the psalmist does in Psalm 116:2. He goes to the house of the Lord. And we remind ourselves of how great our God is. And we are being comforted in the glorious realities of our salvation. This morning and throughout this day and Tuesday and Wednesday, as brothers and sisters in the Lord, we comfort each other with comforting words of Scripture. We weep with those who weep. As members of one body of Jesus Christ, we encourage each other. What else is happening? The children and the young people are laying all these things to their hearts too. Ecclesiastes 7 verse 2 says it's good to go to the house of mourning because we'll lay it to our hearts and we'll be profited by it. Even the children and young people go to the house of mourning. They lay these realities on their heart. I too will face death and the eternity that lies after death. And all these things are precious to the Lord. This hour is precious to the Lord. And you know what will be especially precious to the Lord? What will be especially precious is the day of Christ's second coming. Because each day there are the souls of God's saints being brought to glory, like Berwyn's was last Wednesday. But at the day of Christ's second coming, all the bodies of God's elect, redeemed children, the bodies now, will be resurrected from the dead. Their bodies and their souls will be reunited. God will bring His people into the new heavens and new earth to enjoy the fullness of fellowship with Him, not just in soul now, but also in body. God is looking forward to that day. He still has to gather us. He still has to gather the church that needs yet to be born. But He and Jesus Christ are pursuing that day. The resurrection of our bodies will be precious in the sight of the Lord. That's something we look forward to as well for Berwyn and for ourselves. And when we know that it is precious in the sight of the Lord, then we also know it will surely happen. Because what is precious in the sight of the Lord, God sees to it that it takes place. So this is a glorious passage, a comforting passage. God does not permit any saint to die without good reason. By the death of His saints, God takes His people to Himself to cherish them and love them forever. So even as we mourn the death of a dear husband and father and friend in Christ, we are comforted in the knowledge that even Jesus Christ Himself is rejoicing. Berwyn is rejoicing. There are no tears in heaven. And in the midst of our tears, we can and do rejoice too. Because we know, as Berwyn knew, for all those who belong to Jesus Christ, this is the future in store for us as well. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. Amen. Let's respond to that by singing Psalter number 298. Gratitude and confidence. I don't know personally why Berwyn would have liked this Psalter number. I did not ask. But that third stanza, in my mind, would have stood out to Berwyn, especially the last part. Thy aid we covet most. In Thee is all our boast. Strong in the Lord. Let's sing all the three stanzas, 298. Before we close in prayer, there is one announcement. You are invited to join the family in the basement for a time of lunch afterwards. And this closing prayer will also serve as the opening prayer for lunch. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, what a reassuring word this is. That our deaths, the deaths of those who die in Jesus Christ, are very precious to Thee. Therefore, we can have peace and contentment and can even rejoice because we know that death is only another step of enjoying the victory that was accomplished through Jesus Christ. Be near unto Jerry. Be near unto the family. Comfort them with these truths. May Thy word dwell in us richly. Give us also the certain hope of the resurrection of the body and life everlasting. Even as the family goes to Michigan to bury their loved one, we pray, Lord, that they might think on these things too. And may it redound to Thy glory and praise. Forgive our sins. We pray that in Jesus' name, for only through Him there is forgiveness. Keep us from sin. Bless the food that we are about to eat. Strengthen our bodies by it. Bless our fellowship too. May we receive all these good gifts with Thy favor upon them. Watch over us and all Thy people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.